Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Jacob's Well. I want to give a special greeting to my intertwined brethren. Some of you know about the partnership between Intertwine Northeast, a new community in Minneapolis, and your own Jacob's Well community. I am part of the Intertwine community. So you've already met Laura, who's been playing guitar and singing. Our quote-unquote pastor, Mike, is running the sound up there, and there's several other people, some of them even with Intertwine shirts on. So thanks for welcoming us here and supporting us when we create a new kind of community and church in another part of Minneapolis. And I also want to give a shout out to some of my special little people that are in the house today. My nieces, Abby, Claire, and Natalia are here. They're the reason that I love this movie so much. And in their own ways, they are brave and courageous like Moana. And so I want to thank them for being here to come and see what the heck their Uncle Andy does every once in a while when he gets in front of people and talks. I want to start by sharing a story with you guys about a guy named Akiva. Akiva lived a couple thousand years ago, and he was a master teacher in the Jewish faith, so he was a rabbi. And one night, Rabbi Akiva was walking home, and it was dark and foggy, and he missed the turn to his hometown, and he ended up in a military camp. So he was at the gates of this military camp, and the guard from above yelled down, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And Akiva was still a little bit confused about where he was, and so he looked up at the guard and said, "Excuse me?" And again he said, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" Now Rabbi Akiva was a master teacher, a very clever man. And so he thought of this question for the guy, and he said, "How much are they paying you to do this job?" And this time the guard was a little bit confused, and so he said, "What's that?" And he said, "How much are they paying you?" And the guy told him how much it was, and Rabbi Akiva responded by saying, "I'll pay you twice that much if you come home with me and ask me those two questions every day. Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And like that story of Rabbi Akiva, Moana is a movie about someone going off on a journey, on an adventure, and being forced to ask questions about who she is and what her purpose is. You saw it in the trailer we just saw, but throughout the movie, Moana repeats this mantra. And if you know it, you can say it with me. She says, "I am Moana of Matanui. You will board my boat and sail across the sea and restore the heart of what? Of Tafiti." Some of us older people know about lines that are repeated several times in a movie. Anybody remember the line from Princess Bride? My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. This is not a new thing in movies. We have these mantras, these missions that our characters take on, and it is their mission. It's what drives them and keeps them going. For anyone who hasn't seen Moana, which I'm assuming is not very many of you based on the energy in the room, there are a few characters you should know about besides Moana. I'll give you a quick refresher on those. First is her dad. Moana's father is the chief of the island where they live. He is afraid of the ocean because of an experience he had as a kid, and he passes along this fear to the entire village, even creating a rule that you should not go beyond the reef. He wants Moana to become the next chief, which is a role that she would accept by placing her stone on top of the island. The next person you should know about is her grandma, Grandma Tala. Grandma Tala is a free spirit, and she's the only one who encourages Moana's passion and her interest in sailing the ocean. She encourages her to do this even after she witnesses the aftermath of Moana's first experience in a boat, and that's the first scene that we're going to watch right now.
It's time to put my stone on the mountain.
Okay. Well, then head on back. Put that stone up there.
aren't you trying to talk me out of it?
You said that's what you wanted.
It is.
When I die, I'm going to come back as one of these. Or I chose the wrong tattoo.
Why are you acting weird?
I'm the village crazy lady. That's my job.
If there's something you want to tell me, just tell me. Is there something you want to tell me?
Is there something you want to hear?
How great is that line? Is there something you want to hear? Has anybody ever had an experience in life where you knew what you needed to hear? To the point where you may have even written it down and handed it to someone, like a script, and just said, will you say this to me? Because I've been saying it to myself and it's just not working. We know sometimes what we need to hear. Now, remember Moana's mantra? She was practicing this so she could say it to Maui. Maui's the next person I want to tell you about. Maui is a demigod who's been trapped on an island by himself for 1,000 years. Maui is big and strong. He is even voiced by The Rock, someone who's big and strong. But Maui's tough exterior is a disguise for his fragile ego. He likes to think of himself as a hero, but his tattoos, which are animated, by the way, they tell us how he really feels. Maui is scared and insecure. He feels powerless without what? His magic hook. So Moana sails the ocean to find Maui so that he can go with her to Tafiti. So Tafiti is the goddess. She's also an island who Moana's people believe to be the source of life. Maui stole Tafiti's heart, and he's afraid to go back because he thinks that he's got a price to pay. But Moana needs his help, because what is standing in the way of Tafiti? A lava monster. The lava monster's name is Taka. And so she needs Maui's help to get past the lava monster and to restore the heart of Tafiti. So those are the characters and the basic storyline that I think you need to know for now. So before I ruin the ending for the few of you that haven't seen it by telling the rest of the story and showing some clips, I want to talk about this type of story and consider how it actually has an impact and an influence on how we make sense of the things in our own lives. And to do this, we're going to need the help of a guy named Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell was a mythologist, which means he studied stories. And after studying the great stories throughout history, he concluded that they all follow a pattern, something he called the hero's journey. Now, the hero's journey starts with a regular person who's called into some sort of an adventure by some supernatural force. And as you might expect, since it's a regular person like you or I, they don't believe that they're actually called to do anything special. So they need help along the way. So they have these guides, these helpers who show up and support them and give them some new wisdom and information that they might need. And with that help, they find the courage that they need to travel beyond their known world, to face challenges, discover who they are, and complete their mission before returning home. Campbell wrote about all this about 70 years ago in his book called The Hero with 1,000 Faces, and it's influenced storytellers ever since, including a guy named George Lucas, who used this as the blueprint when he was creating the original Star Wars. Now, Campbell didn't necessarily believe that our lives have meaning on their own, but he knew that stories do. And so he thinks that that's why we tell stories, because stories help us interpret our experience and make meaning out of our own lives. So now, jumping back into Moana's story with this in mind, in the second half of Moana, we find our hero lost at sea and ready to quit. And it's then that she's visited by a vision of her grandma, who is her primary guide. And her grandma asks her an important question.
Why do you hesitate?
I don't know.
I know a girl from an island. She stands apart from the crowd. She loves the sea and her people. She makes her whole family proud. Sometimes the world seems against you. The journey may leave a scar. But
Scars can heal and reveal just where you are. The people you love will change you. The things you have learned will guide you. And nothing on earth can silence the quiet voice still inside you. And when that voice starts to whisper, Moana, you've come so far. Moana, listen. Do you know who you are?
Who am I? I am a girl who loves my island and the girl who loves the sea. It calls me. I am the daughter of the village chief. We are descended from voyagers who found their way across the world. And they call me. I delivered us to where we are. I have journeyed farther. I am everything I've learned and more. Still it calls me. And the call isn't out there at all. It's inside.
My second favorite scene of the movie. You're going to see the other one in just a few minutes. Now that expression, I am, has a lot of significance in the world. It has significance in the Bible. You might remember it as the name that God gives in the story of the burning bush with Moses when he says, who are you? And he says, I am who I am. But it also has significance and a certain power in our lives. I mean, you think about the ways that people say things about us, and it can hurt, or it can heal, it can give us power. But as much as those words of others about us can influence us, how much more influence, how much more impact and power do the words have that we say about ourselves when we take on the things that people have said about us, or the things that we perceive about how we've experienced our lives? And so we say, I am, and we finish that statement with something that cuts us down. And so there is a line in your Sunday paper that just says, I am, with a blank. And in a second, I'm going to get the kids going with an activity as well. But adults, I want you to finish that with something about yourself, something positive, something you want to claim about yourself. You can do a rough draft, you can do several things, but claim something that you are. It can be your name to start with if you need a warm-up. It can be something that you have a talent or a passion for, something you feel called towards. But something that you actually want to take out with you into the world when you leave later today and live out this next week. Something that you need a reminder of that you are. And while you're doing that, we have an activity for the young folks. Ren is going to help pass this out. If you remember, Moana wore the heart of Te Fiti around her neck as a reminder of who she was and what her purpose was. And so the kids are going to get a little activity kit, and in it is a shell and some markers and a little sheet of paper. And it says, I am, and you're going to write your name. And then it says, I am loved, and you're loved by God, you're loved by your family, you're loved by your teachers and others. And then one more I am, and there you can write something that you want the world to know about you. And when you're done writing that, you can fold up that piece of paper and put it in your shell, and you can paint the shell if you want with the markers and put it on a string. There's some beads in there, I think. And if you want to have somebody help you put that around your neck, you can wear this and know that that shell represents who you are and that you're loved. So I'll give you just a few minutes for the kids to start working on that, and for those of you who feel a little bit too old for the activity, to write down or at least think about how you'd finish that statement, I am. Well, I'm not sure how old exactly Moana is. My guess would put her at maybe 13, 14 year old, which seems like the perfect age, because at that age, I think you still have a lot of adventure, a lot of courage, a lot of wonder, a lot of curiosity, the things that you would need, even a little bit, ignorance maybe, to go off and have the kind of journey that she has. You need to know a little bit, you need to be excited, but you also need to not quite know how much danger there could be out there. And it might just be me, but it seems like adults often put an expiration date on those kinds of dreams. It's almost like that we believe once we reach a certain age, we're just stuck wherever we are. That time has run out on those big things that we had hoped for and planned, and so then whatever life we're living is the one that we get. And although I'll admit that it is easier to chase big dreams when you're younger, and cynicism, I'm sure you'll agree, seems to increase with age, I believe there are ways that we can all embody the spirit, if not the specifics, of the dreams that we had as kids right now in our current lives. We often mislabel difficult experiences as failures instead of opportunities to learn. And I say this as much for myself as for any of you, but if you're waiting to feel ready for whatever it is you want to do, whatever seems next, whatever big dreams you have, if you're waiting for it to seem easier, you'll probably be waiting forever. There's no such thing as a fearless leader. Being an adult is about more than pretending that we have things figured out, but we have to stop wasting so much time and energy trying to trick others into thinking that we aren't afraid, that we're not afraid or confused or that we're not lonely or whatever issues we're trying to hide from so many people. We all have fears, each and every one of us, no matter how old we are. And the true heroes are the ones who face those fears head on. Near the end of the movie, Maui and Moana come across that lava monster, Taka. I mean, talk about facing your fears head on, right? I've never met a lava monster. I would imagine that they are terrifying in real life, just like they are in the movie. At first glance, this scene looks a little bit like the Bible story of Moses parting the Red Sea, because Moana has this power. You'll see it in a second. But she responds in a different way than Moses to save her people. And so let's look at what our fearless leader does.
Tafiti, it's gone. Let her come to me.
Goodness, hey, Hayes, okay. First of all, I want to apologize if that was scary for anybody. I have spent a majority of my life scared of monsters of one kind or another, and so I definitely have sympathy for the ways that the monsters that rise up in our own lives can be scary, so I apologize for that. But I show that scene because of the power of facing a fear and seeing things for what they really are. Kids, do you think Maui and Moana were scared when they were there with Taka? I think it would be horrifying and terrifying to face a monster that much bigger than you, breathing fire. But instead of seeing Taka as the enemy and fighting, which is what Maui tried to do. Moana actually looks closely and sees her for who she really is. She invites Taka to come close, and she reminds her who she is, that she is not a giant fire-breathing monster, but she's actually good and loving. She's life-giving. And she does it with just a whisper. We live in a world where too many people think that the best response, that the only way to respond to being threatened, is to attack, to at least make a threat in response. So if someone hits you, they think that you should hit them back even harder. But as Gandhi and others have famously said, an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. Moana stood bravely in the tension between fighting and retreating. She rejected the myth of redemptive violence, and she sees her quote-unquote enemy as someone worth loving. Think back to the scene that we watched just a little bit ago when Moana was alone in the middle of the ocean. She was filled with doubt, and she was ready to quit. We've all been there, haven't we? We've been in a moment, if not in an actual boat on the actual ocean, but in some way or another, we've all experienced the feeling that we can't. We can't pass the test. We can't get the job. We can't make the relationship work. We can't. We can't. We can't. And I don't know what camp moments you've had, but listen again to the words that Grandma Tala sang to Moana, but this time hear them for yourself. She said, sometimes the world seems against you. The journey may leave a scar, but scars can heal and reveal just where you are. The people you love will change you. The things that you have learned will guide you. And nothing on earth can silence the quiet voice still inside you. Do you know who you are? We all have a mini Taka and Tafiti inside of us. We're capable of being monsters and life givers, saints and sinners at the same time. We feel the forces of love and anger, life and death, tugging on us all the time. Which is why we not only need to know who we are, we also need people to help us remember when we forget. So in case any of you have forgotten or just need to hear again what God says about you, God says, I've called you by name, and you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. You're precious in my sight, and I love you. So no matter who you are, what you've done, you're a child of God. You're loved and accepted exactly as you are. So now may this love transform you and restore your heart. May it give you the strength that you need to face the fears that you live with and live with courage. And may you feel the grace and peace of Christ with you on the journey. Amen. One more closing thought on Moana, if you're not Moana'd out already. My friend Patty sent me something knowing that I was getting ready for this message, and it was written by a mother who had just watched Moana with her child as she was finally starting to deal with this painful experience from her young childhood. And so I wanted to read to you her reflection on the movie. She said, I see my pain as a monster of fire. I'm so afraid of it. I want to stay far away, but it's a part of me. I've had to work so hard to walk toward the fire instead of running away. Back to that 4-year-old little girl who I used to be. To tell her that what happened to her doesn't change who she is. To sit in that pain for the first time in 27 years. I can't turn away. I must approach the monster, touch its face, and tell it the truth. May I be as brave as Moana as I face what is part of me but does not define me. And then she claims a truth that's available to all of us. She says, you're not defined by your darkest hour. You're greater than what's been stolen from you. It's never too late to heal. It's never too late to make a fresh start. It's never too late to have your heart restored. So may we go back out into the world like Tafiti, like this mom, like so many people before us who have been hurt but have had their hearts restored by God, by ourselves, by our friends and family, and by the world. You are loved and you're a child of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.